Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
You ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, brother. Show me the money.
Oh, you didn't know?
My shoes on, you wouldn't last a mile.
Summertime, wintertime, I'm on the grind. Yeah,
I got the ring, I'm the champ, I'm the genie of the lamp.
This is the gift I was given, so I just live by my hustle.
Okay, let's go smoke that joint.
What up?
House. What up, dude?
Not much, man. Hype. Ready to go over some linebackers. Ready to get back into the content game. Yeah, get people ready to win some fantasy football. What about you? What you been up to?
Man, well, trying to fix this damn computer right now. I don't know why the hell. As soon as we go live, it wants to start messing up and freezing on me. But yeah, been doing a lot of leagues. So we got some dynasty leagues starting. We got we just finished all those playoff leagues, and there's no time off. Like literally, as soon as the Super Bowl ended, people were hitting me up before the Super Bowl ended. When are we going to start these leagues? So. Yeah, a lot of dynasty leagues going down.
Yeah, my son was talking today. I guess the in the car we were listening to ESPN radio, and the combine is like, is it next week?
Yeah, it's getting
it's literally like right around the corner, and then it's going to be draft time. I mean, like you said, there really isn't an off season. There's just a different season.
Yep, and the combine. I mean, I already put. Pretty much in Patreon, we got like the paid members in there. So for all the paid members, I pretty much gave a big breakdown of rookies and where they're projected to go before the combine. And then we're going to see how this combine shakes it up. Who's a projected second rounder who ends up like being like, what was his name? Franklin last year. Just Troy Franklin. Like, yeah, he's supposed to be like top four and then ends up being like a fifth rounder or something because of a horrible combine. And a lot of IDP guys going to get put on the map because there's not a lot of people who showcase any IDP guys outside of maybe like the top one or two per position. So I'm interested to see what linebackers show out, what some of these cornerbacks run, because we get a lot of 4-2, you know, 4-3 cornerbacks. Like that's usually the position like drafted most in the first round, like regardless of offense, defense.
No, yeah, and that's what, you know, it's a passing league right now, so that makes sense. Especially you get some of these, you know, what up? You get some of these hard hitters, too, these guys that can play a lot of different positions, like Brian Branch just comes to mind, you know. He played safety, but he also played, like, corner a little bit, too. So to be able to do it all sort of at that defensive back position, like you said, he was a high draft pick, so those guys they can pay some dividends in fantasy.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been playing IDP forever, and, you know, you go back 10 years, 10-plus years, it was like, you just didn't want cornerbacks. Like, if you didn't have to roster a cornerback, you didn't really want to roster them. It's all about the safeties. But now, in this passing league that we're in, I mean, especially during all these crazy bye weeks, like, I rostered a lot of cornerbacks who were throwing up 10, 15 points, and, you know, just subbing in for one guy for 1 week. I mean, it's real easy to find guys like that at the cornerback spot now.
Yeah, especially if you play, you know, a scoring like we do, where the, you know, the pass deflections are 3 or 4 points and not like one. You know, all you need is a guy to get targeted 4 or 5 times and hit 2 or 3 of those, and you're already, you know, closing in on double digits. That's not even accounting for any tackles. And if it's a, you know, a backup too, you know, it's going to get targeted a lot. So I know some people like to stream cornerbacks. It's kind of a strategy out there.
Yeah, and shout out to TJ and Marco and Derek and Crispy and Marty, Johnny. Shout out to everybody. We're doing a little bit of smoking over here before the show, so we're rambling a little bit. But we're talking about linebackers, and no matter how you slice it, I mean, if you're playing IDP 1-2-3, the linebackers are the bread and butter. I went through the top 10 yesterday, and well, I guess top 11 because Roquan and Jermaine Pratt were both tied, and we're going to start off today with Henley and N'Kobe Dean, who are coming in tied for 11th. And let's just go with Henley first, because I feel like a lot of us expected Dean to be this guy. But I don't think there was too many people who were really thinking about Henley, especially because of Kendricks the year before. And everyone was all over Junior Colson's nuts because, oh, Harbaugh's drafting this guy. He's going to start right away. But not a lot of linebackers come and start year one and just like kill it. And Henley didn't do shit last year as a rookie, and, you know, a couple injuries over there. But for the most part, he was playing almost 100% of snaps, like right from the get go. And really it was week 3 that put him on the map versus the Steelers, that 26 point outing and 12 total tackles. Let me pull up.
Yeah. Well, like you said, as a rookie, he didn't do anything. I remember I drafted him in a couple of spots and he just sat on my taxi squad because he like barely played at all. Yeah. And then, lo and behold, this year he comes out and like pretty much, like you said, established himself pretty early as a guy to put into your starting lineup. I remember after a while, I was like, okay, it's not, do I play him? It's, is there anyone I play over him? You know? And he went there pretty quick this year, put himself, you know, into contention to be a top, you know, he finished, what did he say? This is 13. You know, but next finished year,
tied for 11th. Yeah, or, well, okay, no, so tied for 12th.
I was saying dynasty, he's got to be, you know, up there top, higher than that as far as rankings, just because he's so young. It's only his second year. And with Harbaugh coming in and using him like he did. So I like his trajectory a lot. I looked at his production profile, which I was kind of going through and updating some of the index players. And this year he had 0.29 points per snap in IDP and 1-2-3 scoring, which is really good. I mean, for a linebacker, you know, any player, 0.3 basically is at the elite threshold. And he was 0.29. So, I mean, you could, you know, for this argument's sake, you could round him up. So I like
him a lot. He had like 1,000 snaps. So, I mean, he was just shy of 300 points.
Yep, snaps were there, tackles were there, 142 total, only one sack, but he still had a few other impact plays, 8 pass deflections this year.
Yeah, shitload of solos. I have him as 84 solos right around there, and only one sack. It's nice when you don't really have to depend on a bunch of sacks or a bunch of, you know, crazy plays for him to put up this kind of points. So, yeah, I'm definitely ranking him inside the top 10 because of his age at 25. I feel like out of everybody who we've mentioned so far, he's the youngest.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, he's ascending. This is the first year he was really every week, you know, startable asset. And like you said, I don't think anybody was really on him coming into the season. So, we got Kobe next Dean.
He throws up the same amount of points. I mean, until he got hurt. I mean, it sucked that he got hurt like right before, you know, the week before the championship week or whatever. He only had one single digit game out of the entire season. And like, that's the kind of consistency that we want from a 24-year-old linebacker who we feel like is going to be good for a lot of years. Sucks that he got hurt.
Yeah, 128 total tackles for him. But like you said, he missed those a few games there at the end. But trending up, you know, I mean, that's the player that I think a lot of people have wanted him to be for a while with the Eagles and for IDP. So for him to break out this year to be a top 15 guy, you held on to him in Dynasty. Kudos. If you bought low, kudos. And he's 24. So, I mean, he's even younger than Henley.
Yeah.
Just a smidge, yep. But.
Both second year guys, both balled out in their second year. And let me see. Henley played what, like 91% of the snaps. Dean still finished off with 92% of the snaps. It is significantly less. So Henley had like close to 1,000 snaps. Dean had 858. Just a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, I think Henley on Sleeper it says he had 957. Let me double check that. I got 996. Yeah, 996. Is that what you see on there? I think that's what it is.
Huh, I don't know. Here it says 858, so I don't know. We'll put a pin in that. But he played a shitload of snaps, that's for sure.
Oh, I was looking at Henley. Sorry, I wasn't looking at Dean.
Okay. Yeah. So bad. Dean, 858 is what I have him as.
All right, yeah. So like you said, significantly fewer, but.
Yeah, and his percentage was higher. He played 92% of the snaps for them, but significantly less because their offense was just a lot better, time of possession, mm-hmm. So they just less defensive snaps as a whole. And Jaws said, what about those who held on to Zach Bond? I mean, shit, did anybody hold on to Zach Bond? I feel like everywhere that I have him, I picked him up as a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, I remember he came into the league so long ago, it feels like it was like 2020, maybe. It was with New Orleans, too. He said, just kidding,
you picked him up week one. Yeah, for sure.
I was going to say, I can't imagine he was on many, if any, rosters week one. It had to be a wild guy and a wild
even league. Dynasty, because why would you hold on to like a guy? Like fifth-year breakouts are not really usually a thing.
he had done nothing, you know, essentially worthy of noting before this season. But, hey, Eagle's going to Eagle.
Dude, I mean, they killed it. And I talked about him on yesterday's video because, shit, he was the number two scoring linebacker. I mean, number two scoring IDP player overall. And just straight out of nowhere, like an RKO, like waiver wire darling, offense, defense, like probably the biggest waiver wire darling, especially if you picked him up week one. But he got like 40 points. So everybody, if you play an IDP at all, he was probably the top scoring guy on waivers that week.
100%.
Oh, yeah. And Jamie said, I got Henley in one of my dynasty leagues. I mean, I've got Henley in a few. And nice. Derek said he drafted him in the rookie draft. I mean, smart man. He's probably got him in like the sixth round, something like that. And yeah, N'Kobe Dean was Hess's guy. Yeah, for sure. I was all over N'Kobe Dean. He had to get hurt last year. That just messed up everything and came back with a vengeance, though. Here we go. So let's see. So that was 12 and 13. And then your favorite linebacker, Fred Warner. I know he's not. I know you hate him.
I don't hate him. I hate on him.
Same. I hate on him too, because he's always ranked as a top 12 guy for like, I don't know, everybody except me and you probably. And you have to draft him there to get him. And I hate doing it because I mean, he finished 14th. You know, that's not horrible. But if I got to draft him as like the fifth or sixth IDP guy off the board, it kind of sucks if he doesn't hit top five, top six.
Yeah, he's definitely like on a points per snap basis. He's really good. But it's one of those things I feel like where the 49ers defense just isn't on the field quite as much as some of these guys that are playing over 1,000 snaps. You know what I mean? And then the tackling, I mean, he's a decent tackler, but he doesn't really get those fat numbers. I mean, he's not putting up like robust 15 tackle games back to back. You know what I'm saying? Like he's kind of like a souped up Patrick Queen. You know what I mean? Like you got to play him, like you said, but you really don't want to pay for him, but you're probably going to have to pay for him.
And what'd you say? He's a souped up who?
Patrick Queen.
She's a killer queen.
So he had five single-digit games. That's, you know, one of the biggest thing that I always kind of hate on him about because, yeah, we expected to have more. He did play like a damn near 1,000 snaps this year, one of his career highs. Yeah, it was
940-something.
I see 998. 94%, maybe that was where the 94 came from.
Gotcha.
So always on the field, and I know – what, maybe there was like a game or two. I think one of the games he got hurt or something and didn't play the entire game. But, yeah, always a lot of tackles. But, yeah, when that offense is doing good, it's him not being on the field as much. 130 combined tackles, 76 solos. Only one sack, two interceptions. So he's not always just the guy who's going to get a bunch of tackles. 55 assisted tackles, I see.
55!
But yeah, he's getting up there though now too. He's 28. I mean, he's not a young up and coming linebacker anymore. I mean, he's a well established older gentleman these days in the NFL.
See, that's what's crazy. I was talking about it yesterday, how I know there's some guys who hit it, fall off a cliff 29, 30, but I feel like now, maybe more than ever, it seems like a lot of these linebackers are making it to like the mid 30s. You know, I mean, look at guys like Bobby Wagner. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. Well, 2023 led the league in total tackles, you know, and Seattle still lets him go. And he just goes over to Washington, him and Luvu, and they kill it. We're going to talk about both of those guys today. Yeah. Here goes Luvu. He's up next. 275 total points. And how many sacks did he end up getting? Eight sacks on the season.
Yeah, he had kind of a crazy statistical season. You know, he's as far as linebackers go, like you said. I mean, that's a lot of sacks for a linebacker. Tackle, he had what was his total tackle number? He only had two games with double digits, so he's not really your traditional guy, but he was playing 100% of snaps.
Yeah, he only had 99 total tackles this year, and that's why I feel like a lot of people won't. They're not going to rank him as high as he's ranked right now, especially being like 28. I feel like maybe he's still top 25 for a lot of people. I think I'm still getting him in my top 20 somewhere, but I feel like he's going to be 25, 30 for like a lot of people just because of the lack of tackles. And can he get eight sacks again? I feel like the way they were using him, he can.
Yeah, definitely a possibility. But like you said, the tackle number is what everybody is going to look at. You know, that's kind of where you start. And not even having 100 is, you know, for a lot of people, they'll completely write them off right there. But that's more for, you know, if he falls in the right spot ADP-wise, snatch him up.
Yeah, 54 solos. So that's not that bad if we're talking like D linemen, but when we're talking about linebackers, you know, even though he seems like more of an outside linebacker, I know they kind of move him back and forth just depending on how many linebackers they have on the field, but he was used like an outside linebacker more often than not. And then how about the prototypical outside linebacker, TJ Watt? I mean, down year for him compared to like what we're used to seeing. I mean, I know he got hurt a couple years ago, but we're used to seeing him in the mid 300s, you know, closer to 400 than to 300 usually.
No, it really was a down year for him across the board. I mean, this just tells you a lot. He had two games with zero tackles. He's always in the thick of things, but how does that even happen? You know what I'm saying? He had one game with one tackle, one game with two tackles. I mean, those are just his tackles. He's usually a solid guy in that department. His sacks were down, I think, would he get 11 this year, maybe 11 and a half.
And I feel like that's why, because his tackles weren't super down. I mean, last year, 48 solos compared to this year, 40 solos. So, I mean, that's still a difference of 16 points. But leading the league with 19 sacks, really leading the league three out of the last 5 years, and then 11 and a half when you play all 17 games. That's just, I know he had like maybe like 10 sacks. I got called back on like penalties or like different things like that. But it's all about what shows up in the stat sheet.
Yeah, the stat sheet this year for him was not what it usually was. I just feel like the Steelers as a whole are so dysfunctional right now. And I think that's starting to wear on players like him who have kind of been above the dysfunction before, if that makes sense. I hate to see that for him, but yeah, this whole Steelers team this year was a mess, and him having a down year is just another thing you can point to as evidence of that. You know what I mean? After what, 4 or 5 years, even the years, like you said, when he gets hurt, he's a beast. And then this year he's, you know, just meh.
He has 30 good
season. Yeah. He still had a good year, but for him, it was not a good year. For a lot of guys in the NFL, sure, this would have been a good year. For him, it was one of his worst.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about someone who could have been drafted as the number one overall IDP guy in your league. I know a lot of leagues, they really favor the guys who get the sacks. And TJ Watt, I mean, three out of the last 5 years led the league in sacks, but I think the real disappointment is him playing every game still. Like, if he got hurt and you put up these numbers and he missed a couple games, you know, there's the excuse. But he played every single game, and yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah, I had a couple of dynasty leagues where if he would have played like he usually does, I would have definitely had a much better season.
For sure.
Just in general.
So we got three guys who are tied with the 271. We'll go with Eric Kendricks next, who I was really high on. I don't even think he had a – well, I guess week 18 if we count that. But through week 17, I don't think he had – he didn't have any single-digit games. He did miss week six, but he killed it when he came on onto the scene with the Cowboys with 40 points in week one. It was probably like him and Bond that were like the waiver wire darlings and like – I don't know, your more casual IDP redraft leagues. Yeah, and you look just compared 2023. I mean, he was up in points. Almost on par with what he did in 2022.
Yeah, very, I mean, he's remained very fantasy relevant even while jumping teams the last few seasons. So kudos to him for that.
Yeah, three sacks, 138 total tackles. How many of those were solos? 71 of those solos.
Those are solid numbers for what a 32-year-old guy.
Yeah, played 95% of the snaps. I mean, he missed the one game, and then he missed part of week 18. But, yeah, played 95% of the snaps, 920 total snaps. So he was always on the field.
Nice. Yeah, for Dynasty, you know, I mean, if you have him, good for you, good on holding him, and, you know, probably him being a solid part of your team the last four or five seasons. I'm not probably going to go out and buy him in Dynasty, acquire him. I really don't know where I would rank him because LB10, I don't know if I can, you know, what do you think? You think he's going to roll into another season?
I mean, yeah, I feel like I'm going to keep him somewhere inside the top 20. He's just on the field way too much, and that's
– I'm just always so scared. I'm just always so scared to be, like, the bag holder when a guy just completely gets off the field, like, like Leighton Vander Esch before him. You know, got hurt, came back, was looking good, surging for a while there, and then, boom, he's gone.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between him. I mean, I know that Eric Kendricks has been hurt a couple games, like here and there, like almost every year. That's just because he tackles really hard. Like Vander Esch had like neck issues and shit like that. But if you sell him, like what's the most you're going to sell him for? Like a third rounder?
No,
like,
I can't imagine you sell him. You'd have to ride him out. But that's what I'm saying. I would never go get him. Just because I don't know how much more you can hope for of this. You can hope, but I mean, like at 32, like, you know, some of these guys are like, I'm retiring. Like Luke Kuechly, there, you know, we were kind of talking a little earlier about some Bobby Wagner. Luke Kuechly could still be, he's only 33 or 34 right now. He's younger than Bobby Wagner, and he retired like 5 years ago. So sometimes these guys are just like, I'm done, you know? So when it's not like a true super, look at Antonio Brown. Motherfuckers ran off the field. You know what I mean? Like, so with some of these guys, as it get, you know, eventually it does come to an end. So I like to be holding these guys, you know, from 2021, 22, 23, I mean, 24. I'd be feeling good if I'd been holding him for a while then. But like you said, I'm not trying to add him right now. I wouldn't be trying to unload him, but I wouldn't be trying to add him. And I wouldn't be going out of my way to draft him either. Because these are the kind of guys that, you know, some young stud shows up and they're, you know, they're good players, but they're just not relevant anymore, you know.
If you draft him in a startup, you're getting him so late, though. I mean, that would
no, be that's – yeah, if you wanted to go with, like, a no-linebacker approach and, like, really invest in other spots, you could come back around to him. I don't – you know, I guess as a late round – as a super late linebacker, would you trust him as a linebacker one if you were going to, like,
not a linebacker one, but you wouldn't even have to draft him, like, that high. Like, I feel maybe he's like a late teens guy. Maybe someone who even makes it into like the 20th like rounds, you know, it just depends on what kind of strategy people are deploying. But even if you go out and trade for him, like I'd trade a fourth for him, maybe even a fifth, maybe a fourth and a sixth or something like that, you know, because a lot of those picks are going to be IDP picks. Some of them are going to be dart throws And, you know, I'll trade two dart throws for someone who's probably going to have 2 to 3 more years at least. It's going to be injuries. Like Luke Kuechly. I mean, it's all the concussion injuries. Kendricks hasn't really had a lot of head injuries. I feel like that's the one thing that's
fair.
But we'll see. It's all a crapshoot. But he'd be someone that would just die on my team. Like I wouldn't sell him for nothing. And
I just don't feel like there's much loyalty in the NFL, and especially being on 3 different teams in 3 different seasons. To me, that's just like
he killed it though. Like
I 100% agree. But like I'm looking at all the things outside of his actual score. I guess that's the way that I would describe how I'm looking at him. It's like
I mean, really, what it is once you get like 26, 27, like as a linebacker, it's like you're just like the running back on defense, you know? So, I mean, probably going to get a year contract here or there. Sometimes maybe it's a 2-year, maybe it's a 3-year where like that last one's voidable. But I don't know. Look at Bobby Wagner. He's been on what, 4 teams in the last 3 years, right? Because he went, it's just 3 teams in the last 3 years because he got traded mid-season from the Rams to the Seahawks, and I can't remember if he was there again the next year.
Yeah,
then he went to Washington.
I forgot he was on the Rams for a second. That's weird.
And he still killed it when he was. It was so good that Seattle traded to get him back.
That's crazy.
It wasn't anything that they traded for him, but still, like that's how good he was. And they let him go, and he's.
He took a team to the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
I mean, he took him and the Commanders going deep.
Hell yeah. And, you know, a big part of that was their defense. And Luvu and Wagner, like, they made huge, huge differences. Now, how about EJ Speed? And I always forget that he's 29 because he hasn't, you know, he's been on the map, like, the last couple years. But this year really set himself on fire here. And, yeah, I mean, he jumps up. You look at the last 4 years of his career, 52 points, 120, 229, and then 271. And 142 total tackles this year.
Trending up big time. 142 total tackles is a massive number. If they don't address anything at linebacker, I mean, they're going to play him and Franklin, I guess, again. And I don't see the Colts offense becoming a possession, you know, winning sort of football team anytime soon. So I think you can lock, you know, you can probably bank another 130, 145 tackles at a Mr. Speed here.
Yeah, and I know he's 29 years old, but it doesn't matter. I mean, he's got speed in his name. Guy's out there running sideline to sideline. He should be getting after the quarterback. He didn't have any sacks, though. I don't know why they didn't have him rushing the quarterback. But 93 solo tackles, like, that's insane. Like, there wasn't one player that had over 100 solos. You know, nobody did. 98 led the league for solos. He's right up there with the league leaders.
Yeah. Nice. That's
and more to come. So even being 29, I'd rank him inside the top 20. That 29 doesn't bother me with him. Here we go. Finally made it to Wagner, 34 years old, going into his 13th year in the NFL and just killing it. I mean, not like he did the last couple years. He definitely took a little like step down. Because he was over 300 the last 3 years, but 268, very close to 300. And for being a 34-year-old who was, most people were ranking out well outside the top 25, you know, or at least outside the top 20, I feel like he lived up to all the draft capital. How about that?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, there's not really much to say about Bobby Wagner at this point. I feel like he's just, if he's playing football, he's going to be one of the best linebackers on the field. He's going to, even as he ages, he's going to continue to put up quality statistical seasons. He's one of the best linebackers that's played football maybe ever. I mean, ever, right? Like that's.
I feel like he's got to be up there amongst the best, like, interior linebackers.
His longevity alone, you know, him and Levante David, I mean, it just speaks to being different. Like you said, and you just said it a minute ago, too. It's like, you know, that middle linebacker, when you get 26, 27, it feels like you're just the running back of the team. I was thinking about this yesterday I was listening to something I said a few, like a year, 2 years ago. It was about Saquon. I was like, running backs are replaceable. but Saquon Barkley isn't a replaceable running back.
Right.
And you could say the same thing with Lavonte David or Bobby Wagner. Linebackers are replaceable, but Bobby Wagner and Lavonte David aren't replaceable linebackers. And yeah, it's crazy how those statements can both be very, very true. You know, Bobby Wagner is not a replaceable linebacker. I mean, those are big shoes to step in for anybody. Luke Kuechly would have fit in that mold too if he'd played longer.
Yeah, and the crazy thing, he played 99% of snaps, 1,072 snaps. And, you know, that is what's crazy is that is down. Like, that's less snaps than he played any of the last 1, 2, 3, 4 years before that. But 99% of snaps as a 34-year-old, he's a baller, and you can't even take him off the field. He's that good.
Yeah, I mean, he could be the top linebacker next year too, just again.
Yeah, and really, it was their offense probably being better than they expected on why, you know, on just the time of possession. Like, they going into this season, you'd probably think that their defense would be on the field more than their offense, but I don't think that was the case.
No, like you said, and that's the thing. Like, he didn't even really play as much as he could have if he'd have been on a booty team. You know what I mean? Like, the Commanders were legit this year. So, you know, and he still put up 132 tackles. You know, Frankie Luvu, we just looked at his stats. He didn't let Frankie Luvu break 100. So he was busy, you know what I mean? And he was, you know, so I think he took a lot of the tackles that were there. So if there are more available, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes back up over 132 next year.
Yeah, he only had 75 solos, and that's like almost the least. I mean, besides seasons where he got hurt, I mean, that's like the least that he's ever thrown up when playing that amount of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm sure there is a room for improvement there. All right, let's see who we got up next. So now we got this is rounding out the top 20 here, and it's Quincy Williams, another 28-year-old. I mean, that really feel like a lot of these guys, you start hitting your stride, you really just got the smarts at that point. Because, I mean, all these guys are super athletic, you know. But once you're in the league for a few years, you really get it between the ears. And, like, the interior linebackers usually, I mean, yeah, they're like the running backs because, you know, they fall off the map usually after, like, 28, 29. But they're also said to be the quarterbacks of the defense. And it's because you got to fucking know what everybody is supposed to be doing out there.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And like you said, that's one of the things, Bobby Wagner, Lavonte David, like, they just know where the ball is going to go. They know where the play is going to happen. Like you said, they know between the ears. They've seen so many snaps. They've seen so much football at this point in their career. It's like some of these guys almost like automatic, you know. And Quincy did take a little step back this year, which I hated to see. But you know, it is what it is. I don't think that's necessarily a downward trend. The Jets in general were not very good this year. I don't know if maybe some of that dysfunction again wore off on him as an individual player. Robert Saleh left the building, who has, you know, put Quincy Williams in a position to succeed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he, you know, so I don't know how much that affected things defensively for those guys. Quincy and Quinton Williams and Sauce Gardner, this time a year ago, were some of the hottest defensive names in football.
Yeah.
And this year, I mean, it's real quiet. Sauce Gardner is yapping on Twitter or X, whatever you want to say, but they ain't talking ball.
Right.
Nobody's talking about them as far as being ballers right now. So I think that – I don't think that can be understated sometimes for some of these players, how the coaching and the culture, I guess you would call this the culture overall, can really affect what happens on the field.
Sherwood stepping it up. I mean, I'm sure because Mosley got hurt, but then Sherwood stepping it up, you know, that's probably something that took a couple tackles away from him. And TJ said London Fletcher played pretty late into his 30s, if I remember. I mean, London Fletcher, it's crazy how little respect London Fletcher gets, because I feel like him and Ray Lewis's like career stats are like very, very close to identical. But, you know, Ray Lewis does have 2 championship rings, and a lot of people don't even know who the fuck London Fletcher is because he was on the Redskins for so long and during the years that they really sucked. He's the man.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, let's see. Who do we got after Quincy? So let's see if we – let's make it to the top 25 here. And how about Blake Cashman? Man, someone who super off the map until – really was the Jets. I feel like getting a couple opportunities on the Jets, and then we, like, learned his name a little bit. And then he does good on Houston. And then he comes over to Minnesota, and then he's just, like, a full-time starter right away. Because of lack of options, but at least, you know, they put him in the position to win. 28 years old.
Yeah, you know, Kevin O'Connell seems like he's pretty good at finding talented players that other people have maybe lost sight of the talent of them. I mean, Sam Darnold kind of that way. Cashman, you know, that way. Even bringing the defensive coordinator guy. What's his name?
I know. What the hell is it?
That's actually good on him for us forgetting his name, because he needed to like disappear for a bit and then reemerge. Gosh, what is his name? Not Flores. Is it Flores? Brian Flores? Is that
Brian Flores?
There it is. Boom. Yeah. Why is that so hard? Yeah, I mean, turning some of these guys that have been cast off by other teams into meaningful players. You know, Cashman's a good example of that. But I think Sam Darnold's the most indicative of that. But yeah, offense and on defense. But I don't know about Cash. I don't know if I'm buying in necessarily, or if he's a player I'm going to go try to get. But generally speaking, that's just because I have pretty good linebackers on most of my IDP teams at this point in my life. I think you're probably in the same situation. So sometimes I look at these guys and I'm like, that's really cool for whoever's team he's on. Sometimes I'm just like, that's not going to be a big part of my life. But, you know, I'm not going to like run out to trade for him or whatever. But he's definitely somebody to – if you picked him up and you played him and he helped you win a championship, good on you and good on him for, you know, an ascending career later in his career.
Yeah, look at Marco. Cashman didn't exist on the NFL app until week 12 of the 2023 season.
See, bingo. I remember when he was on the Jets too. He might actually have a production profile in the index, because I think he did a couple of things one season. I don't even remember.
Yeah, it wasn't even
maybe they just drafted him, and I thought that was actually before they had Quincy, and that's what it was. It was before they had Quincy and CJ Mosley, I think, as locked in, and I thought that he might start. I think
He was probably the guy drafted right before 2019. Yeah, see, they drafted him the same year that they brought over CJ Mosley, but then CJ Mosley got hurt that year. He tore his ACL, and then he sat out for the COVID year as well. And so it was probably during the COVID year somewhere where Cashman got, like, to start a couple games or something.
COVID.
Something like that. And Derek said, I got Blake Cashman everywhere. See, Derek's one of those guys, though. He didn't go, maybe didn't go linebacker heavy or something, and then
he's ready.
A guy like
strapped Cashman. Up. Maybe Blake Cashman's the new Zach Bond. That's what they're saying.
Man, how about Nick Bolton? I still can't believe he's only 24 years old, and I feel like
his last two seasons have been kind of not bad.
We got hurt,
but
last, and it still wasn't. I mean, but even if you double it, it was like 116 times two. Like that's still
what I'm saying. Good. If in 2022, I mean, this dude had was 180 tackles. I mean, he was coming off like some king shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, linebacker and, one going into that next year.
Yeah, if you take his last, you know, you have to put last year's score and the year before score together, and you almost get what he had 3 years ago. You know, or it's like right there. It's like 10 under. 10 over. So, I mean, it's like he was huge. I don't know what happened with the, you know, this year, especially the tackle numbers being so low.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't locked into him as much on the Chiefs games, but that's the thing. Like, I don't really remember him doing a whole lot this year, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
I mean, there was a couple games where he had like double digit tackles, but I think it was only like two or three. And for the most part, it was like, you know, you're getting 5-6 tackles if they're not all, even if they are all solos, still only 10 to 12 points. So
yeah, it was pretty weak Sauce McGee this year. Still, like you said, only 24 years old. So he's got that going for him. I mean, I think we still got a lot of green grass in front of us. Might be a good, but honestly,
he only had three games where he was below 10 points. But I mean, here, just reading off 13, 17, 21, 9, 23, 16, 16, 4, 19, 13, 9, 26, 19, 21, 13, 20. I mean, when you read it out, it doesn't sound that bad on like a
per game. No, but there are, like you said, but there are a lot of like 13, 9. Yeah. I would have liked those to be like 16s and, you know, 19s. You know, I would have liked to see a little more.
The game's over 20.
A lot of 14s, a lot of 13s. Like you said, that's pedestrian shit. 13, 14, 15, 16, that's pedestrian shit. That's not a linebacker one numbers.
He had five games over 20. And if we go,
you got to start him, but that's moving down into my IDP flex spot.
Let's go compared to like Zaire Franklin, who scored the most. Let me see.
19, 19, 15, 25,
6, 7, 8. I mean, he had eight games over 20, and then we got a game over 40 as well. So, yeah, I mean, really, that's what separates some of the top guys from the guys who are, you know, I mean, he is mid this year.
Yeah.
Is over the 20s, and
yeah, I think dynasty, he's a good buy low opportunity though, because I think a lot of people are going to be trying to cash out. You know what I mean? I think he's the kind of guy you could get packaged to you with some other stuff, kind of as an you know, someone trying to just get rid of him, and that could be big for you. You know, I don't think we're looking at another Devin White, Devin Bush type situation here. You know, he has played some really good football. I don't think the Chiefs are ever going to like let him go. You know what I mean? Like, he's been part of this sort of like run that they've had the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
He's been really important. He's won all those Super Bowls with them, you know, all but like the first one or two.
And last year in 2023,
so I think he's going to be one of those solid guys that kind of rolls through there for a while. So I think we're going to see a big bounce back. I like the idea of buying him in Dynasty, honestly, now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. And in 2023, throughout their whole run, I think he led everyone in the playoffs in total tackles. So, bingo. I mean, there's a lot
just
of good
a wonky year. There's still, yeah, exactly. There's more good than bad with him still ahead, I think.
All right. How about another guy who's a linebacker, but we think of him more as a defensive lineman, Nick Benito, only 25 years old and really showed out this year. I'm always just going to think of him more as a defensive lineman than a linebacker, but he did crack the top 25. For linebackers, 257 points, 13 and a half sacks. I mean, that's where he made all his money.
48 total tackles. That's a rock solid number for a defensive line player slash linebacker, especially if he's going to be pushing into the double digit sack numbers. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, that's kind of how TJ Watt does it, you know, too. He has high tackle numbers, and he can push those sack numbers up there pretty high. So, yeah, good on him. I played against him this season a couple of games, and I got waxed, I remember, very particularly. And I played one game where I should have got waxed, and he, like, missed something, and I got away with one. And I was like, man, this kid. So he's on the radar.
CB Dizzle, what the hell? He said, just learned you're a Chargers fan. I'm not a Chargers fan. I was a Chargers fan when they were the San Diego Chargers. Ever since they went to LA, I dismantled my fanhood with them. I'm a free agent. I don't cheer for any team individually. I just cheer for all my fantasy football teams.
Yeah, Chargers are booty.
But Jamie Stacey, Cooper DeJean's brother, Jack's got tons of offers from college already, dude. 6'6", 205, playing wide receiver, running back, tight end, and cornerback. Damn.
Well, the highest paying one's the cornerback, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. And if he's anywhere like his brother, I mean, just because of his brother coming out and showing out, like, there was a lot of people who said he was going to be a first rounder. I was like, dude, there's no team that is going to draft a white cornerback in the first round. If he ran a 4.3 or a 4.2, I'll go with it. But I don't even know if a white guy can run 4.2, 4.3. I don't know if we've ever like seen it happen. So I still can't believe that the league let the Eagles get the two top cornerbacks in the league and to pair with Darius Slay already. Like, that was just crazy. Still crazy to me.
The NFL draft is always fascinating. It's usually a, I don't know, it's a great exercise in stupidity.
Yeah. Because if you go through just, we could go through the last four or five just first rounds, and we're definitely finding more booms than busts in there. I mean, that's just the way that it is. And even if we went back a couple years, so we're not talking about just like last year rookies or whatever. Mm-hmm. How about, we're going to round this out. We got two more players that were tied at 24 and 25. DeMario Davis, 256 points and 136 total tackles. Just, you know, in the same breath as Bobby Wagner and just all these guys who seem like they're going to play until they're 40.
Yeah, big tackle numbers from him this year too. Lower sack numbers. He's usually good for quite a few sacks. That's one thing he's been as he's aged. But 136 tackles, I mean, he stayed busy this year. Good for him, you know. Another one of these, like you said, older guys that has just been holding it down in your linebacker two spot, you know, for probably years, a decade for some people.
Yeah. 13 years in the league, you're going on 13 with this year. And he had 69 solo tackles.
69, dudes!
That's not too shabby for a 36-year-old who you might have drafted. I mean, if you drafted him in redraft, he might have been one of your last picks in that league. And with Dynasty, if you started a new Dynasty startup, like, you didn't have to draft him early. Very solid.
Yeah. Good guy, too.
Yeah, I don't even know if I would rank him inside the top 25 just because you almost don't even have to. It's like, I'd rather just rank him lower. Let's get his ADP as far down as we can. So maybe we get him in like the 30s or the 40s, you know, of these like 50-something round startups.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last guy here, another 28-year-old. 28 seems like the age that you want to be a top linebacker in the league, at least one of the top tackling linebackers. Kaiser White, 256 points and 137 total tackles.
Yeah, another good year for him. He had a 2021 144 that I remember that season. It was a good season with the Chargers. That was a fun one. Good to see him kind of rise back up again this year. Played all 17 games. You know, I'm not a fan of the Cardinals, but I do, like you said, that's the great thing about fantasy is you can cheer for people, you know, and I like Azir White. He's been, you know, I've like watched him play for a while and good for him, you know, another good season. 28. He's going to knock around the league a few more years, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I don't see why the Cardinals wouldn't keep him around, especially he played the full 17 games like this year. Last year they played like what, 10 or 11. I know he got hurt.
They struck out at linebacker with Zaven Collins and with Isaiah Simmons. Yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, stick with him. Why not?
Yeah, and I remember back in Kaiser White was one of the people who I was talking about, you know, because he had the DB and linebacker dual eligibility. And I remember talking about him super early. And I remember, like, multiple people left, like, five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. They're like, this guy knows his shit. I picked up Kaiser White. I didn't even know who that was.
Yeah, that's dope. The good old days, bro.
Yeah, so hopefully he keeps it going, because I know because of that I have him on a shitload of dynasties because I was picked him up in 2020 and been, you know,
right. Yeah, well, he's been dirt cheap. You've never had to pay up for him, you know.
Nope. All right, and there we go. So we rounded out the top 25 there. Feel like a lot of these guys, especially these 28-year-olds, I'm going to be keeping them inside the top 20. Guys like Bobby Wagner, like, where would you actually rank him if we're just talking dynasty rankings? 34-year-old who doesn't seem to quit.
If I'm winning now, win now dynasty rankings, which are basically redraft rankings, you know, I would have him in my top 20. I would probably take him around linebacker 15 to 20, somewhere in there. Wouldn't be my linebacker one, probably my two, maybe my three if I go heavy and try to get like two monster guys and then a third guy. My third linebacker is Bobby Wagner. Like, that's a flex. But we just saw DeMario Davis. He's 36. He's still popping. So, you know, if he's 32 or 34, he might have two good seasons right there. Just legitimately, we can look at it in the league. So he's Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
Believe.
Hell yeah. And we're going to keep the IDP talks going. I know it's not like any of the other stuff we're going to stop, but feel like IDP, that's always been something that separated this channel from everyone else. And Jordan's been rocking IDP army like forever. So I know that he thinks the same thing. So just get ready for a lot of IDP content. And yeah, we're going to have some combine content as well. I might do some live streams during the combine, maybe, just do a little bit of talking, get some smoking going during the day. Let's see what dates those are.
Yeah, see when that combine is.
February 27th through March 2nd. So yeah, next week. Next week to the day. Next Thursday is when it kicks off.
Wild.
Yeah. And then we got free agency starting literally like 2 weeks after that, mid-March. And then the OTAs and all that shit. And then, yeah, the NFL draft at the end of April. And before you know it, we'll be back in September.
I want to ask you this. Have you seen this fast draft app, this like best ball app? Apparently the guy, I guess it's like the owner of the company or however it's set up. It's basically Fantasy Mansion, who's, you know, a total prick, but whatever. It's his like company, a little app, whatever, but they have an IDP best ball tournament in there, like straight up legit. Like it's an actual like for money, real money fantasy game, whatever they're calling it these days, DFS, whatever you call it. But they have an IDP, IDP best ball tournament in there. Like it's $10,000 in prizes. I don't know what the first place is, what the payout is. I don't know how many people they expect to get in it, but I was just looking at it because I didn't do any best ball stuff like that last year. I just played in my main, you know, redraft style leagues in my dynasty leagues. I didn't play any money leagues last year. I just took the whole fucking year off basically. But the year before that, I did like 500 or 600 underdog drafts or whatever the fuck it was. And I basically like broke even, and I just sat down and was like, okay, so you spent, and I was like, how many hours did I spend drafting? And like, literally like a draft takes like an hour on underdog if you just do a fast one. And you know, and I was like, yeah, I was like, to break even, I was like, that was like a full-time job all summer. I draft 3 or 4 times a day, so that's like 4 hours a day. You know, you're watching TV or doing mowing lawn or whatever, but it's like constantly happening. But
I'm gonna be doing the best ball tournament again here. Derek, he's the one who won it all this year. So the way I have it set up is 10 offense and 5 IDP, and really it's because of the people who might be scared to play an IDP. But we ended up having 1,704 teams in there. I think how many divisions? 144 divisions, something like that. And we were drafting from April until the first day of the season. And this year I'm going to start it again like mid-March. So pretty much right after like free agency starts. And $10 buy-ins. I know that's going to be the difference. I know a lot of the other apps, I got the little $3 and the $5 buy-ins. So we're keeping it at 10, but Derek won. So Derek, man, he hit first and second place in the tournament. Damn. So he ended up winning 5,000 for first place and then 1,700 for second place. And he won more than that too, but I mean, just that. And third place was pissed because I think it was a difference of like less than a point, or maybe it was less than 2 points. It was something very, very close.
I feel like these last two seasons, more than any other seasons that I've played fantasy, I've seen so many matches and seasons come down to like less than a point. This season I saw it a lot, and last season I would see so many. I was like, dang, I feel like it's not usually this close. So many matches were just like down to the wire every week. I felt like there was a match in my league that was like, I was like, damn, it's not usually like this. You might see one or two of those a season, you know, throughout the last 5 or 6 years, but like it felt like every single week I was like, damn, these are, I don't know if people are getting better at fantasy, I don't know what it is, but it's just like I feel like there were so many matches and things that were just like quarter of a point, 0.4, 0.2.
Yeah, and I feel like, well, I guess the more leagues you play in, the more that you'll see that happen. So I feel like I see that a bunch. But I think it's one of two things. It's the competition level just rising, you know, people getting better, people playing in, I mean, now I've got dynasty leagues that have been going since 2020 was some of the first dynasty leagues that I started. And then 2021, that was like when we started these 420 crew dynasties. And like, you know, as people have been in there, I mean, we're going to be going on like 5 years now in these leagues. And so people are building up their squads. And if you don't catch a bunch of injuries, like, man, I've seen some insane scores in some of these leagues.
Yeah. I love fantasy football.
Hell yeah. And TJ, no, we're not gonna. You're not gonna be in the same. I mean, you could be in the same divisions, but pretty much everyone's getting kicked out just because it makes it easier, and then everyone will get the opportunity to rejoin, you know, the divisions as we keep drafting them. But yeah, we're literally gonna start drafting that in about 3 weeks' time. And I got to figure it out because we're going to have one that's going to be offense only for those peeps who are like super scared of IDP. But hopefully we just almost every year we've been doubling up. Like at the first year, we had 120 teams. Second year, 252. Third year, 888. And then this last year, 1,704. So I don't want that one with IDP to get smaller because I'm opening up the new tournament. I just know that there's going to be some people who are scared and who wouldn't play in a tournament with IDP. So we're going to do both.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with doing both. It's the best way to play fantasy football. You know what I mean? Like, it's you watch defense. My biggest thing to me is always like you're watching defense. You're just actively, you're literally choosing to disengage from it, which is wild when you say it like that and people don't think about it like that. And they don't like to, they feel attacked when you say that. But yeah. It's like, did you see the video? Dude, well, John Gruden's been having a hell of a last 6 months, but there was a funny ass video of him, like with all the people from Barstool watching the Denver game. Mm-hmm. And they're all in the same room together. And he said to the guys, and they were like talking football. He's like, can any of you name three defensive players on the Denver Broncos? Dude, and they all, one guy said Patrick Surtain.
Yeah,
and that was it. That was it. And he's in a room full of like, you know, guy, you know, Barstool football, blah, sports guys. And I was just like, damn, he just clapped them like all his clapped the whole room. But it's funny because it's like he's kind of calling them out. Like, you're watching this game, but you're completely disengaged from half of it. And I was just like, "Ooh, that was tight. That was tough."
And look at Chris. I'll give you a seventh and Tony for DeMario.
Man, fuck Tony!
I can't believe he's.
You know who Eric Moody is? Again?
Yeah, I know the name.
So he's actually been on the show before. It was funny because I stumped him. Remember when Clubhouse was a thing? The app Clubhouse. So it was him and Matthew Berry, and they were answering questions, and like Matthew Berry left and Eric Moody was there, and I was like, who do you think is like maybe your top two or top three collegiate guys, you know, who are going to be coming in for fantasy football IDP wise? And he was like, man, I can't even tell you one IDP player you know, that's going to be coming out this year that I'm looking at. I'm like, okay. And I always like asking defensive questions because it makes these guys who like, I mean, shit, he's paid by ESPN to talk about fantasy football, you know, and he couldn't even name one college player. And I think that was the Brian Branch year. I can't even remember who,
you know, but
there's always one or two guys that like you should know. And he couldn't even name one.
Well, maybe he's corrected the error of his ways. Maybe more people are finally coming around on it. I don't know. I feel like there's not really – I feel like the NFL media is getting a little redundant in general, so hopefully more people start, you know, digging into some of these more defensive players and defensive storylines and just, you know, getting a little bit more of a – just a deeper appreciation for the game.
I'm doing my part to build up the IDP with – the leagues, the tournaments, the advice, and all that shit. I know you're doing your part in that too. It sucks that it's going to take like the fantasy footballers coming out with like an IDP segment, and then everyone's going to say that they're the reason why they got into fucking.
They'll never do IDP. That. They'll literally never do it. They'll never do that.
One day they will. I mean, it has to. I
don't think they will.
Might be 10 years from now, but who knows? But I feel like it's going to break through sometime.
But it will have nothing to do with the fantasy footballers when it does.
Well, it just sucks that it's like it's gonna be a popular platform that like talks about it.
Eventually it will. You know, like you said, I mean, it only makes sense too because I mean the Devy conversation is basically dead. Like 5 years ago, which it sounds crazy to talk like that 5 years, but I mean 5 years ago, Devy and IDP were like neck and neck in the conversation, and then for whatever reason. Everybody, Devy got more mainstream traction, which is just because it's NFL draft stuff. It's not really its own thing. Yeah. But it kind of took a lot of people away from potentially diving into IDP, which is a real thing. not Devy.
And I don't know why you wouldn't have a Devy league that had IDP if you're like going that far. Like,
yeah, exactly. If you're already going balls deep, you might as well get it. But whatever. And so like the Devy conversations just slowly year after year, it's corroded. And like it's basically Devy's like not really a thing. It's kind of a, it's like a understood that it's, as far as I can tell, nobody really plays it. A handful of people still talk about it. You have to do so much
annual work. Like that's the thing. Like, I mean,
nobody really plays it. Yeah. There's no real platform that allows you to do it. And it's just crazy to me that it's finally corroded to the point. And I'm just like, imagine if, but it had all this support and all this steam behind it, but there was nothing there. There was no real product, which was, I don't know. It was wild. Anyway, like you said, so in that regard, I'm with you. I think IDP can, because IDP is a real thing. It's a real meaningful part of football. You watch it right there. Every single person that loves fantasy football is watching IDP fantasy football. They just don't know it because they don't engage with it. And it's way different than Devy, which was, nobody still don't know what the fuck Devy like really is. Like, how do you like somebody, I was like, so you're gonna just pick from any football team in college? Like that just seems so insane.
Look at this, Johnny. IDP is not enough. He said we need to fuse another sport in there, like 10 offense, 9 IDPs, 2 point guards, 2 pitchers, and a goalie. You know what's funny is I saw someone mentioning
ref squads. Whichever the most, whoever has the most flags, I'll pick the squad with the most flags. You can get individual refs, like the guy that throws the most flags. Dude, that would be crazy. You'd have some weekly analysis. This ref throws 6.7 flags per on the road, you know, or whatever. It's like, oh shit.
And you know what's dumb is there's some motherfuckers out there who would rather do that than put like IDP in there.
Literally, that's like the funniest part is you're right. There are people that are probably workshopping that right now.
Come on, we know about a big tournament that you could play like 5 kickers, but they'll never have IDP in there.
Oh my gosh, don't even get me started. I just got back.
Yeah, we don't need to go down that road. But yeah, one day IDP is going to be more the norm. And I feel like it's, you know, we got to treat it like drugs, you know, like the only way that you're going to hear about this is like hand to hand transactions, word of mouth. And that's it. Because like, you have to tell your friends about it because no one else is going to tell them about it unless they randomly.
Yeah, the mainstream. Yeah, the mainstream isn't going to say nothing about it. Yep. Matthew Berry's not going to drop his top 5 IDP sleepers for 2025 anytime soon.
Hell no. Johnny said footballers have been joking about fantasy refs all season. Yeah, and seeing that's what's funny is like that, you know, they'll create a league with something like that. But yeah, they'll probably never have an IDP league out there.
Unserious. Stop giving those people your money.
Oh man, Crispy said, "Wait, different platform?" Yeah, I mean, you'd have to do some kind of different platform to do. I don't even know how you would do that. I guess you could maybe do it on Sleeper, and then someone's going to integrate all the points somehow.
Someone would have to. I'm sure there's a database out there that has all the NFL refs and all the calls that they've done. So you'd have to essentially link the Sleeper API with that. And then you'd have to get their names and information and then what games they're in. And you just essentially turn them into another position and you'd have to apply some sort of scoring format to them.
Hell yeah. He said, been running IDP redraft for 10 plus years. Hell yeah. See, that's why you were down to get into the best ball tournament right away. And you weren't like scared about IDP. I love that though. And more of these IDP degens are going to find us. And IDP savants is what I call them now.
IDP is just, it's just more fun, period.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to have fun or do you want to be lame?
I know when I lost in an offense only league, and it was pretty much because of one player, you know, just tearing it up. One person scoring like 50 points and pretty much winning the whole league. It doesn't happen in IDP. Like, I mean, unless your team just like completely sucks, but if you're in the championship, I'm sure it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, you have more chances to counterpunch, you know, you can like, again, I mean, this year, I always love that. Like, you know, the last week of the season and you're like looking at your matchup and it's like, you have 6 players left, you know, but they have 5, but they're all offense and yours are all IDP, but so it's like you're rooting for them, but you they just give you a shot. Your offense shit the bed already. You're like, shit, all my offensive guys did nothing. You're like, but there's hope. because I have these ballers down here. Like my, you know, I'm not just wrecked. You know, I still have more guys to go toe to toe with this other motherfucker. So,
yeah, because I had five linebackers that threw up like 20 plus points or something. You know, and just like totally keeping you around.
Bingo. Yeah, or like a last second trash sack. You know, people talk about garbage time. There's nothing worse than a garbage time sack. Some dumbass quarterback out there down 30 points for no fucking reason, holding the ball for three downs for like 8 seconds. It's like, oh, cool. Three sacks in a row. That was a 70-point swing. Fuck my life.
Hell yeah. All right. Everybody who's in the chat, throw in a comment if you were here for the entire time. Throw in one of those 100% emojis. I see who was here the whole time. And while we're getting all those comments coming in, Jordan, let them know where people need to follow you at and what's going on.
Man, just follow the X of the Twitter account at the IDP Army. My YouTube channel, I haven't posted anything on there in like 18 months. Okay, that's a lie. I've posted a couple of things randomly here and there, but I haven't posted consistently in like 18 months. But I'm gonna get back on that very, very soon. Not like all the time, but I'm gonna put a few things on there, like maybe like a couple of things a month. I think that's completely doable. Mostly IDP related, and that I think my fantasy football YouTube channel right now is called At All Fantasy Football. It's been so long since I've even been on there, so check that out. And follow me on X at the IDP Army. Yeah, those are the best spots for my fantasy football stuff.
Hell yeah. And if you guys aren't on Patreon, or if you don't have the Patreon app downloaded, download that and go over there. 420crew.com is going to be a lot of things for paid members, probably more things this year for paid members than ever before. We're going to have a bunch of stuff, you know, for free for everybody, but I'm make sure to give the deep dive analysis for all the paid members. Make sure you guys get a bunch of extra stuff. There you go. Yep. IDP Army heard. Hell yeah. And crispy single QB leagues are ass. Hell yeah. All right, guys, we will see you tomorrow. Not really sure what time. And yeah, combine coverage next week. And then we're going to keep the IDP talks going week after week as well. So see you guys next time. Peace out.
Defense on me.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Here comes the hell. 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 Y'all don't really want me now.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.